Folks, it is great for you and I to understand the life that we're living, understanding it in the love of Christ. Now, you like me, many times will look to your life and you say, I cannot understand how God loves me or why he would love me. For my actions of the past and my actions of the present or whatever, that we have a hard time. So this morning, getting you prepared for a series of sermons that will start next Sunday. And we're going to look at the heroes that you and I need to be paying attention to. We're going to look at these individuals and how they lived by faith in Christ. And we're going to see how God revealed himself from the beginning to a nation that knew the Messiah would come. Now, let me tell you this again, because many questions are asked about this. How do the people of the Old Testament get to heaven if the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ? There has never been a time that Jesus Christ didn't exist throughout the Old Scripture or the Old Testament, and you will see it. I will share that with you during this series. You will see Jesus there. And you'll see in the scriptures of how you know that it is Jesus that is standing there. So for them, what their acceptance was, you and I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior because we know what he did on the cross. Those of the olden times accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because they believed in the coming of the Messiah. There has never been any point in scripture or history to where an individual gets to heaven other than Christ. No way. It just doesn't work. God tells us this, but then he says, I give you a way out. I will show you myself, but I can only show you myself through my son. Because you see, nobody could look upon God and live. God himself looks at you, looks at me, and says, I love you. So as we look at God's love and my love or our love, I want us to remember something. God's love is so strong for us, and Jesus loved us so much that he says, I have so much love that I'm going to give you, so here's what I want you to do with this love. I want you to take that love within your heart, and then I want you to share it. I want you to share with the world my love through you, not your love all polished up, looking good. It's all of the human love that's polished up and looking good. Have you noticed it doesn't stay polished sometime very long? And the very ones that hugged each other, the very ones that I united together several times, the very ones that I would do that, all of a sudden the very individual, whether the husband or the wife, all of a sudden, instead of love there is estrangement. There is a bitterness. What happened? You polish up the love like I polish my head. You polish that up, it will dull, right? It'll dull in your heart. So Christ says, I'm going to give you the love, and I'm going to make sure that this love is within your heart. I'm going to give you the love that's going to be placed in your heart. And I want you to understand that my love goes on throughout eternity. My love is the true love within your heart. Now, here's what you and I need to know about God's love. Number one, we should expect God's love because of who he is. The most well-known and famous words of the scripture, God is love. God is love. Now, in the love that Christ gives you and me, he gives us the strength in that love to love the unlovable. Now, when you start thinking about the unlovable, who's the unlovable within, you know, my area or my friends? Well, what you need to do, I want you to first start with a mirror. And the reflection that you see in that mirror, I want you first of all to teach that reflection the truth about real love. Real love is the love that God gives us. And as God gives us that love, he says, here's what I want to show you. So love is something we do. Love is something we do. When you love, you put that love in actions. Yet for God, love is who and what he is. God is love. Look at Ephesians 3, verses 17 through 19. May your roots go deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is so great, listen to this, though it is so great, you will never fully understand it. You will never fully understand it. I don't understand how anybody can love me. I don't understand how anybody could love some of you that I know real well. But you see, without the love of God, there would be no true love. Are you hearing me? Without the love of God, there would be no true love. True love is in Christ. So, then if true love is in Christ, and then Christ is not in me, I got a problem, right? Because I'm going to deal with love of the mind. You know, I'm going to think, man, I'm so cool, and I love, and I'm going to tell them how much I love them. But then later on, you hear something from them. There's anger, there's distrust. Here's something. The words that you will never hear from God. I don't love you anymore. I don't love you anymore. You will never, ever hear those words from God. When God says, I love you, well, let me read the scripture. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Everlasting love. Meaning, it lasts forever. Do you know how long forever is? No. Because it's through eternity. How long's eternity? I don't know. It's forever. And you go in a circle. But here's what I want you to think about. I don't want you to think about everlasting. I don't want you to think about eternity. I want you to think about who truly loves you. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord of the universe. He is the King of all kings. And he says, I love you. Welcome to my family. And it is my love that will give you the strength. I will not be able to finish the battle that God has called me here to do unless it is through the love of Jesus Christ. Even though I fought cancer, even though I'm fighting the Agent Orange poisoning, even though we're going through all of that, I got news for you. The love of Jesus supersedes all that garbage. You got it? I don't have time for the cancer. I don't have time for the Agent Orange. Yet ever so often it makes me take a little time. But God said, I'm going to love you. And my love's going to last forever. Listen to the second one. I can experience God's love because of what he has done. Now, 1 John 3:16. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. So real love is in what Jesus has done. Listen, you want a definition of this real love that I'm talking about? Don't go to the dictionary. Go to the cross. Don't go to the dictionary. go to the cross. For when you go to the cross, it is real love that's staring you right in the face. How many times over my years as prison chaplain and all, how many times have I witnessed individuals being offered salvation? They're under conviction. You know that God is dealing with them, and yet they turn and walk away. I just don't want the love of God. Listen, people, you have to work hard to go to hell. Yes, there is a hell. Yes, it's a real place. Yes, there's a real devil. And every one of us in here have experience with him. We know that he exists. But you got to work so hard not to go to heaven. I mean, God has placed red flags everywhere for us. You hear the voice in your heart. And as you're hearing that voice, you know good and well God is saying to you, "This is my son. I told you all. I let my son know that he had done his job. I let him know all that he had done was well done. Every prayer Jesus ever prayed, God answered. And God said, because he loved you so much, my son lifted your name to me." You see, when Jesus lifts up your name, God listens. It's important for each one of us to understand that the definition of love is at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. And at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ is our strength. Now, God didn't just tell us he loves us. He showed us he loves us. He said, "I love you and I forgive you." God said, I love you so much. Now, Larry, be careful. Because I stood back and watched my son on that cross. As he was dying in agony, you were on his mind. He loves you so much. Will you not take the story to the world? Will you not present the gospel? No other time in history than in our generation have you ever witnessed such as Vine Grove Baptist Church broadcasting in 130-some countries. Think of that. You go, Podunk, I've got Vine Grove, little church. But God is allowing the word to get out. The world is saturated in our generation more than any saturation ever. And what's the truth? The truth is, God said, "I'm going to get the truth of the love of my son out there. Preacher, preach it. Christian, teach it. But you take my word to the other ends of the world." Listen to 1 John 4:9. "By this, the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." I got to live through who Jesus is. It's not me saying, "Okay, God bless me so I can tell him your word." I'm going to mess it up. It is Christ saying, "I'm going to come in and I'm going to dwell in you and I want to live through you." True love always sacrifices for others. Now listen to Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love." Look at it. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In our life of sin, Jesus says, "Larry, I love you. Lord, I'm a sinner. It is because you admit it that you're going to get to see my love." But do you know that Jesus would love me to the other ends of my existence? Jesus said he didn't want anybody to go to hell. He wanted all to be saved. So he puts up with us. Even those who continually turn him away. And let me tell you something, folks. Don't mock deathbed religions, as it's called. Or deathbed salvation is what I call it. Don't mock it. I have been at the bedside of many. And I've been to the bedside of men that were dying in the prison system. That would curse God up to the last moment. And I've been with those who would accept Christ. And people said, that's jailhouse religion. And I said, no, it's not. That's jailhouse salvation. That's Jesus. I don't believe that man ever accepted Jesus. You don't have to, because God could care less what you think about him. You see, Jesus looks at us the way we're going to be. Now listen to me. Does he pay attention to who we are? Yes. Do we not understand that this life that you and I are in is just a boot camp? And sometimes it's just like a Marine Corps boot camp. And I promise you, they'll get your attention. But that's what we're in this world for. When we leave this world, folks, we don't die. Christians do not die. The sad part about it is no human being ever created, born, will ever die. But there are a lot that will never see heaven. You see, that's why the urgency is there. I do not want anyone going to hell. I love them. But I don't love them from my heart. I have to have the power of Christ in me to do it. Now, I will admit, many, when they would talk to me about the crime that they had committed, I wanted to reach across the desk and slap them with a little love tap and introduce them to Jesus. But you see, that's what the world is. The world is made up of individuals looking. Sadly, the scripture tells us many will never find. They will never ever find the truth that they're looking for. Romans 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Told you that. Look at 1 John 4:10. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation, best way that you and I need to understand, is satisfaction. We satisfy God. Don't play with that word. We satisfy God. Who and what needed to be satisfied? Well, you see, God is the one who needed to be satisfied. And when God says, I need, through my holiness, for you to understand that when you are satisfying me, you have propitiation in your life, which means you said yes to Jesus. Jesus, let me know your name. See, it's very difficult for us as human beings simply because we don't understand God the Spirit, or God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I cannot explain that to you. I can't explain salvation to you, but I know it's real because I know I've been saved. But I can't explain it. I can tell you about it. You see, sin that God hates, people say, oh, you know, that's a strong word. I don't think God would ever use it. Well, read the Bible. God uses it. God hates sin. You know why? Because sin destroys his children, you and me. And we're at war with sin. We're at war with the powers that are fighting for us out there. Those are spiritual powers coming to get us. And God says, listen, sin will bring spiritual death always. Romans 6:23. Because you see, God wants us and has sent us spiritual life. The weight of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Okay. When I went to the feet of Jesus, when I could see the cross in front of me, it was his cross. I knew that. And I knelt and I invited Jesus as a little boy into my heart. You see, that's only the beginning. It didn't stop there. It didn't stop. The cross is a visual aid for me and for you. Well, look at the push that's on of people objecting to Christians dare wear a cross. And now, of course, the teaching is, you know, God said not to wear or have before us any engraven images. If you worship something you have around your neck, that's sin. Oh, good gracious, people. If you have the Holy Bible and you're reading the Holy Bible and you worship the book instead of the author of the book, that's an idol. That's sin. Get real with sin and allow Christ to explain it to us. And we understand that the wage of sin is death. So I know the payoff for that sin. Number three, last one. I must express God's love because of where he lives. There ought to be a song about Jesus living in my heart. 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. You know, the birthmark of a real Christian. The birthmark of a real Christian is love. It is love. Somebody loving somebody even though that they're not lovable. And all of us know that. You know, think about it this way. When you and I were born, we took on the nature of our mother and father. We took on the nature of our mother and father. When I was born again, I took on the nature of Jesus, my heavenly father. Got out of that one, didn't I? We get the nature of who God is within our life. If I'm a Christian, I will display the nature of God, and the nature of God is love. Listen to 1 John 4:11-12. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. The love of God is perfected in us. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God. And God abides in him. Okay. You can't escape the basic logic here. Let me read these to you. Number one, God is love. Number two, every follower of Christ is a child of God. Number three, God's children share God's nature. Number four, God's children, therefore, will love others. Now, I've told you all many times, and over the years that I've been here, 18 years that I have been here as pastor, almost a year prior to that as interim, I've always said this: you may not like me, but God orders you to love me. You don't have a choice. And we better start loving one another more, because look at the face beside of you, look at the faces around you. You are going to be living with those faces if they know Jesus throughout eternity. So get used to it. Because this is a training ground. And God says, if I'm training you, don't you understand I'm training you for a purpose? The truth of Scripture is, my friends, God doesn't create junk. And when God calls you and God touches your heart, He takes time out to touch your heart. Don't you think the wisdom there ought to be, God is touching me, therefore, I'm going to pay attention. Our world is falling apart. Our nation will come close to ruin unless the Christians stand up and are once again counted. But you got to stand up in love. You got to tell the story of Jesus. It will not be you and it will not be me that wins the battles. Because, my friend, not only is the battle already won, the war is already won. Get in the last chapter, last page of your Bible called Revelation. Get in there and you will find something. God wins. And He allows us to come in the winner's circle with Him. Now, Brother Randy, it don't get any better than that, does it? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love, for Your truth, and for Your strength that only You can give us. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that the wars that You and I deal with, Father, must always, each of us, remember that it is always You that are dealing through us. Thank You, Father, for being our God. Thank You, Father, for sending Jesus that we might be able to stand through His power, strong in His name. We ask Your blessing now, Father, that we might make commitments within our heart, and we will be a part of Your plan to change Your world. We ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.